through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Welcome into Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Great show for you planned today. Sometimes we get this idea of the media that we just want more. We want these great sound bites, honest sound bites from our athletes. And then there's this other group within the media that says, no, we want the generic canned answers from the athletes. And so you get these two groups of media sort of feeding on one another, slugging it out. We had this sound bite from Russell Wilson here talking about what he thinks they need next year.
Are you confident, Russell, that the pieces are in place on this team to take the next step?
I think we need a couple more. I think Jadeveon's a big-time guy that we would love to get back on our football team. He was so good in the locker room. He brought so many, you know, just havoc plays to the field. Hopefully we can get a few other players there on defense. And then also on offense, we have a great offense, but I think we can always add more pieces. And I think that's going to be the part that's going to be great with John Schneider and Pete as well in terms of this offseason's free agency. Free agency is very, very key to get superstars on your team and try to get great players that can fill the space. And then the draft. We always do a great job in the draft, and that's going to be really important to get some young stars up and coming.
So Russell points to Jadeveon specifically. He points to the draft. He points to free agency, and he says, we need pieces. This is a new thing for Russell Wilson. It's not an unusual thing for a quarterback to say. Quarterbacks do that. They're an extension of management in their own way. But here we are in year, well, what will be year 9 for Russell Wilson, and this is an area where he hasn't gone before. He's not stuck his toe in these waters, Jake.
Correct. And I think for a couple people on this station, it was very shocking, particularly Danny O'Neill and Dave Wyman. And the sentiment for them is, look, you're a player. You're a player. You shouldn't concern yourself with front office things, especially in the public eye and in these questions. And to me, I look at that and I wrote down the significant things of what Russell Wilson said, because there was also some fluff in there. And reality is Clowney, free agent superstars, young superstars from the draft. And everything else in there was saying that, you know, hey, John Schneider and Pete Carroll, this is what they do. They do a great job in the offseason, but here are some things that we need to get done. And I don't think that they were egregious. I don't think they were over the line. They were pretty generic in that aspect. Like, it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, I don't think it's a big secret that there are holes that need to be filled offensively and defensively, and hopefully that they can do it through the draft. But the significant things that were said to me, Clowney, let's talk about Clowney number one. If you think that Pete and John are mad that he talked about Clowney, you're dead wrong, because what are they trying to do? This is your quarterback trying to recruit Jadeveon Clowney and saying, look, man, we want you here. You're on my mind right now. I want you back. We want you back. So that's first and foremost. And then saying that we need to go and acquire superstar talent in free agency in the draft, to me, that's the one area that you can point to and say, okay, maybe Russell's sending a message here. Maybe he is saying something about how he feels and that he wants to get good quality talent, in free agency. Who wouldn't? I'm a little confused as to why people would think that this is maybe crossing the line or stepping over the line. But in reality, I don't have a problem with my quarterback being an advocate for this organization to push and try and get difference makers, superstars that are going to help us win a Super Bowl, and not, you know, guys that are just going to help us round out the cap and maybe have patchwork here across the offense, defensive line, and different positions. Let's go get impact players, some superstars.
Yeah, three things for me, and I agree with you guys. First of all, you want a veteran quarterback to have power and say. It's not unusual to see a veteran quarterback do that. We were talking before the show that some quarterbacks might take it even further than that or be more aggressive with that. Look at Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy there. That relationship was completely fractured, and Aaron kind of took charge with it. And if quarterbacks come out and say, well, we weren't good enough in this game, or we made some mistakes, if you're taking accountability as a team, can't the opposite be true? And can't you then advocate for changes as a team? Secondly, Russell Wilson would be criticized for a canned response. If he came out and said, no, I think we're perfect, the obvious response to that and critique for that would have been, no, you're not. If you were perfect, you'd be in a Super Bowl. I think that anyone can objectively look at this team and see the flaws with this team, which Russell Wilson didn't even go out and identify. Like Jake said, it was a pretty, even then, kind of generic response, and I thought kind of more like a PR savvy response to say, yeah, here's my opinion. We could use more pieces. I think we all share that opinion. I think John shares that opinion. Pete shares that opinion. But I'm not going to point out specific guys. I'm not going to say we need a new quarterback. We need a new safety. We need a new wide receiver. I'm not going to put guys on blast. And thirdly, if we've been saying all year that this is Russell Wilson's team, shouldn't he be praised for a response like that?
Well, it depends who you are.
I guess, yeah, it does depend.
If you think it's Russell Wilson's team, if you're one of those people, then yeah, you should.
I feel like it's the conversation we've been having all year. Every time we talk about the guys that are no longer in that locker room, it's always been, this is Russell Wilson's team. That was one of a handful of narratives that we kept throughout the season. And it was never a negative thing.
And the reality is, too, is that if you think that that quote actually drew some, you know, actual anger or frustration from Pete and John, I think you're looking at it wrong. I mean, you don't think that those three guys, Russell Wilson, John Schneider, and Pete Carroll, are on the same page in a lot of aspects, that they have conversations about what's going on? And I understand that maybe that a lot of those conversations need to stay private and they need to stay in the back room and behind closed doors. But a comment like this, to me, just signifies that, yeah, we're going to be aggressive. Look, I want to be aggressive. We have a Super Bowl window here. I am under contract with the Seattle Seahawks for 4 more years. Bobby Wagner for 3 more years. Let's get this thing done and let's go get some really star-studded talent and let's make it happen. And I don't think that's too far-fetched to go and say for any general manager and head coach to then listen to and go, man, that guy's really put me on the spot here.
Well, do you think it's generic or do you think he's sending a message? Those two things seem to be at odds with one another.
I think the safe message is to say we need more pieces. I think that that's more than saying nothing. It's a generic response in that he didn't call out any specific things. If you were sending a specific message, it would be, we need help on defense. Defense needs some help. They need to help us. That would have been a message.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need more pieces is like, I mean, it's like saying we need to execute before you go play a game.
This to me just sounds like Russell is saying, hey, I'm psyched up for 2020 and I'm psyched up for an offseason where we're going to acquire some more parts like we always do.
Yeah.
That to me is all this is.
Yeah.
It's just it's a different way of saying what he would usually say. He's a little bit more forthright about it when he says we need pieces and he points to the draft. And he points to free agency. But so what? I mean, that's what they would be doing anyway.
That's what you hope they would be doing, right? Like, if the only way that this is controversial in any way, guys, is that if John Schneider and Pete Carroll are looking at this $60 million cap space and saying, okay, how can we acquire as many patch hold type situations? How can we acquire cheap level offensive linemen? How can we acquire, you know, defensive linemen that aren't really impactful guys, but they're good, solid football players and they're cheap and we can get a really good deal out of them this year. That to me is when it becomes controversial. I would hope that that's not what Pete Carroll and John Schneider are doing. And I'm willing to say that that's exactly the opposite of what they want to do. They want to go out and get star-studded talent. They want to go and acquire big people and difference makers, whether it's through free agency or through the draft. They've got to be smart in how they do it. But ultimately, they got to get difference makers. That's the reality of what they see on the defensive line, offensive line, and other key positions. So, like you said, Tom, I don't really see this as controversial unless front office is thinking differently.
You know, Stacey, you brought up the example of Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's an example of a guy who I think took it too far.
Yeah.
He ended up getting his head coach fired.
And I'm sure there were conversations in Wisconsin on sports radio talk there saying, you know, was this the right thing to do? They'd love Aaron Rodgers there, but I think that one of the kind of core principles in sports is respecting authority, respecting the coach, respecting the hierarchy, and I'm sure it was a debate.
Oh, of course. I mean, they have a situation right now where the quarterback runs the organization. I know they went 13-3 this year, but let's take the long view. I mean, how long will that last? I can understand how the old school guy might think the respecting of authority is paramount, but I don't think that's the situation we have here. I think we have a very clear hierarchy. It's Pete, John, Russell, in that order.
Yeah,
agree?
I would agree with that.
And all Russell is doing is he's saying, I'm excited to see what pieces get added here. He's not pointing to anyone. He's not saying, boy, you know, I'm really hoping for a new left guard this year because we had all kinds of problems with that in 2019. I'm sick of getting, you know, sacked. Like, that's not what I heard at all.
He's not saying that. He's not, you know, calling out anybody directly. But I also think that there is something to that. There is something weighted in there where this isn't contradicting myself, but he said superstars. He said superstars, young superstars through the draft. Young superstars in free agency, that means to me difference makers. That means impact players, not guys that, like I said, depth pieces or, you know, guys that you're trying to skim by on the cheap. So they are in a position this year because of their cap space, because of the draft capital that they have.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Now I understand what you're saying. You are contradicting yourself, sort of. If he's saying superstars as opposed to the usual, you know, filler pieces that they get.
The Luke Jokels.
Right. Well,
Eddie Lacy's.
Here's the thing, though. They look at Eddie Lacy and Luke Jokel like they are superstars.
Ziggy Ansah,
right,
same boat.
So, sorry, Jake, I take it back. You're not contradicting yourself.
I retract my previous comment.
Thank you.
What it comes down to is how you view these players. Like, do you view them as superstars or do you view them as filler? I'm sure Pete Carroll didn't view Luke Jokel as filler.
Man,
they paid him, what, $7, $8 million to come in here and play and be their left guard.
Right.
Because Tom Cable told them so.
Exactly. But that's also a failed first-round draft pick coming off a torn ACL.
Right.
Right.
But I know, so proven, but he thinks he's a miracle worker.
I hear you. But that's, I think, the underlying message here is let's get bona fide superstars, guys that can make an impact right now. And obviously, there's a difference, and we can have a further conversation there. But proven guys that can step in, that have shown that they can play at a high level, and that will do so immediately when they walk through the door.
It took me 14 minutes to get the gist of that conversation. I apologize. I have three more questions right now.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the "we got to protect the kids" nonsense.
The game within the game. I saw this story where in Kobe Bryant's final game, he was approaching 60 points, and he was shooting free throws. He was at 59, about to shoot one more. And it appeared that Gordon Hayward he essentially committed a lane violation.
Correct.
Which, if Kobe missed the shot, that violation, had it been called, would have guaranteed Kobe one more shot at 60 points. Mm. Now Hayward denies that he did that intentionally. But what do you think of that? Let's just say it were intentional. Nice gesture, or do you think that that's Bush League?
It's a really good question, because there's one particular instance that you can point to is Michael Strahan and the sack record and Brett Favre, who very clearly gave it up to him. Right? Like, he just went right in front of him and then laid down, and Strahan is credited for the sack, and Strahan has gone on the record and said, hey, I didn't appreciate that. Like, I didn't like the gesture. Brett Favre denies that he did it, but he absolutely did that. Like, he did it. Gordon Hayward, I believe that he didn't do it. I believe that he looked at that situation, was just a young guy who made a mistake in the moment. But if he meant to do it, I think it's a nice gesture. I mean, it's Kobe Bryant. It's the last game of his career to get 60. But at the end of the day, if he got 59, would it have been any less incredible?
I don't know. It's the NBA. I mean, this is what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a nice gesture. And I am not a hyper-competitive person. So from my point of view, I always think, aw, during those moments. But Kobe was a supreme competitor. Maybe the most competitive, notoriously competitive person in the NBA. was very open about it. It alienated him for a little bit of his career, for a while of his career. And I think that he would have appreciated someone giving their all. He would have wanted to beat someone and to outplay them, not to have something given to him.
Yeah, I agree with that, more or less. Derek Jeter's final day of his career, when he got that game-winning hit to right field, there were accusations that the pitcher, whoever it was for the Orioles, grooved it, and that, you know, it was an easy hit for Jeter or whatever. You know what?
It's like Brett Favre, Michael Strahan sacking Brett Favre.
Well, that's what he just said.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I've got my headphones turned off.
Sorry.
I got sports studio'd.
Didn't mean to yell at you.
Sports studio'd.
Sports studio'd.
But either way, yeah, it's the NBA. It's kind of what they're known for anyway, are these sorts of fake moments. So whatever. No big deal. Next.
Number two.
So Kyle Shanahan was talking about how the 49ers passed on Patrick Mahomes, along with a lot of other teams. He said, we had the second pick, and based on intel, it didn't seem he would go that high. How different would things be today if the 49ers had Patrick Mahomes?
I don't know that they have some of the other talent that they got. In 2018, they took Mike McGlinchey 9th overall. They took Nick Bosa 2nd overall in 2019. If we're assuming that Patrick Mahomes has even just a similar performance and outing that he does with Kansas City in San Francisco, you're not performing so poorly that you're picking in the top 10. So I think that, you know, that's the struggle that better teams face, is you pick lower in the draft and you have to pay your guys more, and it's harder to acquire that talent.
And that's a good point. It would change kind of the structure or face of the team, because you wouldn't have that star-studded defensive line talent all across the board. And actually, in this year's draft, you may not even be picking Nick Bosa. You'd probably be going and trying to get some offensive stud to get around Patrick Mahomes if you were the San Francisco 49ers. So it's a very interesting conversation. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan would have been thrilled to have that type of talent if he had known better. But the other funny underlying aspect of that is that he didn't draft Patrick Mahomes or was even interested in a quarterback because he thought Kirk Cousins, his former quarterback in Washington, was going to be a free agent, and thought that he was going to have a chance to get Kirk Cousins in free agency. And Jimmy Garoppolo plays a great, phenomenal, you know, final six games of the 49ers. They feel pressure to end up signing him, and that's the direction they go. I think that the 49ers are even better offensively with Kirk Cousins under helm than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Can you imagine the NFC West with...
Absolutely.
I mean, with Kirk Cousins, but with Patrick Mahomes. If you had Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes as two of the quarterbacks, and they're obviously Kyler Murray and Jared Goff in there also, but Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes are consistently the top-ranked players in quarterback rating.
Well, I mean, in that scenario, we know who the best quarterback in the division would be. Jared Goff.
Right. Oh, yes.
No, sexual. You're right, Tom. You're right.
That's right.
Very sexual.
Number three.
I'm hearing whispers, I hope I have this right, that Andy Reid, it seems like he's becoming the sentimental favorite in this, or to win this Super Bowl.
Andy Reid is the sentimental favorite.
Did you guys hear that? Was I the only one that heard that?
Andy Reid.
I don't know what you're talking about, Tom.
You didn't hear that?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear any of that. I do believe wherever those whispers are coming from, because Andy Reid, to me, he's a lovable guy. He's a character that you just fall in love with when you get the chance to know him.
Would you call him Jolly, Jake?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Get around the Jollies, Santa Claus, you know, type.
On vacation.
The Kool-Aid guy. Wait, on vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah, Santa Claus on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But look, to me, Andy Reid is, he's a great personality. He's a phenomenal offensive mind and has been loved and regarded by all of his players that he's been around.
That's the big thing that I've been hearing, is that it's player testimony, basically.
Well, and it's a coach that's been one of the most winningest coaches in the NFL who hasn't quite kind of gotten to the peak. And I think people see it as, oh, he's earned it, though. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio with his Oscar. Oh, he's earned it. I can't believe Andy hasn't gotten one yet.
See, the difference is DiCaprio... Oh, God, I'm going to follow this analogy. I know I'm going to be wrong.
That's okay. Just do it.
DiCaprio, at different times during his career, has been thought of, I think, as the best actor out there.
Yeah,
whereas
but you
to
want...
me, Andy, hold on, let me just make this point, and then you can tell me I'm wrong. To me, Andy Reid has never been thought of as the best coach in the league.
It's because Bill Belichick is always there.
Yep.
And he's got both. He's got the respect of the rest of the league and the Super Bowl rings.
But I think even Pete Carroll has been thought of as a better coach than him, than Andy Reid.
I think they're on par. I think that there are. I think that people have always felt that Andy Reid is this genius play caller.
Who screws up the clock in the last 3 minutes of the game. That's
right.
Always the,
whereas
the knock against
Pete
him.
Pete Carroll is a genius in building a culture.
Yeah, which he does.
So from that standpoint, I look at it and say there's absolutely whispers of sentiment for Andy Reid to win this Super Bowl, more so than, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think a lot of people want to see Andy Reid host the Lombardi Trophy.
We love Andy Reid.
Andy.
And I would not be mad at that.
Andy.
Well, I guess if I had to pick between the two coaches, am I too hard on Kyle Shanahan?
If I got you Kyle Shanahan's hat for your birthday, would you wear it?
You mean the one he wears?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I didn't think so.
I'm not a flat brim guy, first of all.
And it's a surfer type of hat, too.
It is.
It's a beach hat.
Yeah. I think it's more like the surfer that says, no, I surf. You don't actually see him surfing.
Is Saul coming in next?
Yes.
As usual? Okay.
As usual-ish.
I just feeling like he wasn't for some reason. I'm all out of whack. Saul's coming in next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacy is brought to you by Car Toys. Is this Baby Shark?
I thought it was the tide is high and I'm going home.
That's what I thought at first,
it's
but it's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know anything about music.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how's it going? No, it's not, but that's okay.
What's new?
I want to play you a soundbite, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. This is Russell Wilson discussing what he thinks the Seahawks need in 2020.
Are you confident, Russell, that the pieces are in place on this team to take the next step?
I think we need a couple more. I think Jadeveon's a big time guy that we would love to get back on our football team. He was so good in the locker room. He brought so many, you know, just havoc plays to the field. Hopefully we can get a few other players there on defense. And then also on offense, we have a great offense, but I think we can always add more pieces. And I think that's going to be the part that's going to be great with John Schneider and Pete as well in terms of this offseason's free agency. Free agency is very, very key to get superstars on your team and try to get great players that can fill the space. And then the draft. We always do a great job in the draft, and that's going to be really important to get some young stars up and coming.
Superstars, Mike.
Sounds like Russell and I are simpatico.
Superstars.
That is now the second time I've heard that. Brock and I taped the podcast this morning, and we used that cut, and it was the first time I had heard it. It sounds like me and Russ and Jim Moore, power trio, are all on the same page.
Typically in sync.
It's time to bring in some superstars. I agree with Russ 100%. And when I hear that, I hear him saying, on the defense especially, I hear him saying, yeah, on the offense, but mostly we need stars on defense. And if that means bringing in some big-time free agents, $60 million in cap space, after you sign Jadeveon Clowney, if it means making sure that you draft some guys who can come in and really make a difference, I heard Jim talking about it and writing about it. I'm with him. I would trade up in the draft. I think they are at a point where they could absolutely trade up in the draft this year based on the amount of depth and sort of that middle class that they added to over the last year or so, based on how many picks they have and on how much cap space they have to spend this year, and based on what they don't have, which is some of those guys at the very top who will make difference plays. I'm fine with them trading.
Don't you think that Pete Carroll and John Schneider, though, look at the guys that they've both drafted and acquired in free agency or traded for as superstar players?
No.
Ziggy.
I hope not.
Oh, sorry.
I hope not.
I thought you meant all of them.
Who do you mean?
No, not every single Luke Joekel, Ziggy Ansah, guys like that.
I don't think so. Because
yeah,
all those,
I mean, $7 million to Luke Joekel to play left guard.
None of those guys were day one signings. All of those guys were second or third wave signings, and especially Ziggy, he didn't sign till almost everybody else was done. It wasn't until May. Excuse me. So I don't think they did think of them as superstars. I think they thought they were value plays. That, hey, we can get this guy at this value. Eddie Lacy, Luke Joekel. Who was that gigantic human? Webb?
Jamarcus Webb.
Webb.
God,
yes.
That guy was huge. He was like a landmark. Like, where is that guy? Just see Webb. He's over 5 yards from Webb.
What about when they traded for Jimmy Graham?
Well, that was. I mean, I think that was a move for a superstar, but they gave up a first-round pick for it.
Yeah. And it was on the first day of free agency.
It wasn't a second or third wave of free agency thing. I will maintain that the Jimmy Graham, in retrospect, that trade was the beginning of the end for what the Seahawks were doing, that it took them away from their vision and away from their identity. If you want to be a physical team, the idea of trading for a pass-catching, non-blocking tight end makes no sense whatsoever.
I understand that, but they still thought that they could get that kind of superstar.
I think they need it again. I think they need that sort of a move. It doesn't need to be Jimmy Graham, but you need to give up some of your assets in order to bring in some stars to pair with Russell and Bobby and a couple other guys. This is Russ's prime. I think that their offense has close to what it needs, and their defense wasn't close this year. They were 30th to 32nd in nearly every relevant category in the league. It is time to beef that up, and I hear Russell calling out for that when he spoke to whoever that was.
So you hear Russell calling out for that. These are all things that we've been talking about. These are all things that we immediately have. It's been a very no-brainer situation in terms of during the season. Now, after the season, did Russell cross the line in saying this and speaking to it publicly?
Hold on. Let me text Doug, find out, see what Doug says. Doug, did Russell cross? Yeah, Doug says he did, so he must have. I don't think so. No, I think he's acting like the captain of a team that everything is built around. I like this. I don't think he's calling anybody out. I don't think he insulted anybody. I don't think he said John Schneider isn't doing his job. He said, we always do a great job, and this year we get a lot of cap space, and let's go use it to bring in some superstars. I don't see him crossing even close to a line. I don't see him trying to do John's job for him. I think he's just saying what he needs to say, which is, look, I did what I was supposed to do last year. The offense pretty much did what it was supposed to do. The other group didn't carry its share of the water, but he doesn't say it in any sort of a blameworthy way. He's just saying, here's our opportunity to get better.
You know, the more I think about this, the more I think if I were in like Schneider or Pete's position, I might be rubbed the wrong way.
Really? This is what John said he wanted. He said he wanted a quarterback that tilts the room the moment he walks into it.
Yeah, now you're taking the phrase tilt the room and you're applying it to something. You're applying it to a point you want to make.
Yeah, but I don't think so. I think
tilt the room can mean a lot of different things. Tilt the room means take leadership of a locker room.
Yep.
That's what it meant initially. If I'm John Schneider and I hear him say superstars, what I'm hearing is, yeah, get some superstars like you haven't done before. No, it's 2020.
I don't think
middle of my career, get your act together.
I don't hear it that way. I honestly don't. I don't hear it as a get your act together or that we failed in the past, just that's what we need right now. I think he looks at it and look, Russ is as stoic as anybody during games. When his defense is out there, you know, getting torched on third downs over and over again and up and down the field and bad in the red zone, he doesn't pout.
I'm probably going to change my mind at least 3 or 4 times on this issue as we go. It took me 14 minutes to really understand what he was saying.
He doesn't pull an Aaron Rodgers or a Cam Newton and be apathetic towards a fumble on the ground in front of him. He plays hard every minute. He doesn't throw picks. He did everything he could as a quarterback to help the defense this year by not putting them in too many bad spots. Heck, even of the, 4 picks he threw, 2 of them were run back for touchdowns, so the defense didn't even need to be out on the field. He did everything in his power to help that group, but they need help. And everybody who watches them knows that defense needs help. I don't think he's calling out anything crazy. I think he's trying to send a message. If Jake says that Russ and Peter stars at the Pro Bowl and Russ is walking around with some of the stars there and he's watching the game, San Francisco and Kansas City this coming weekend, he knows that his defense needs help. It's just not good enough right now.
It is an interesting spot where he is specifically. He's specifically saying the word superstars,
mm-hmm.
right? And I do think that
you think
that
he's saying it on purpose. Is that a purposeful word?
I think it is a purposeful
word.
He also
throws
it
around, though.
Yeah,
he does. He'll run through the entire Seahawks roster.
Yeah, we got DJ Fluke, he's a superstar right guard.
Right.
I don't know about that.
But I do think that there is some weight to that word, though. And I do think that I don't think he's calling out anybody. I think that this is a plan that Pete and John and Russell is privy to that plan and just saying, look, we need to be aggressive. This is my Super Bowl window. Let's be aggressive. We got the opportunity. Finally, we have cap space.
Yeah.
Finally, we've got some good draft capital here. Let's capitalize
on
that.
What I liked is that he wasn't calling for weapons. If Russell was sitting and going, hey, make sure this is about me. I need more wide receivers. I need to be better protected. It's all about the offense. We need help. He didn't say any of that. In fact, the connotation in it was the opposite. Hey, yeah, if you can get some guys on offense, cool. But it to me is, let's make sure this whole unit, everything is beefed up defensively so that we're truly a complementary team and playing the exact style that Pete and John claim they want to play.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part to me. Pete and John are the ones setting the agenda of, we want complementary, physical, defensive, you know, run the ball, balanced football team. Well, if that's what you want, it does not take a brain surgeon to look at this roster and say the defense needs to be better than it was a year ago, that needs some stars.
You've been pretty adamant that the defense needs, like, 95% of the focus. Is any part of you reevaluating the offense and saying, how many holes did Russell Wilson mask, and maybe they do need some help there, or are you completely
not really
upset?
Because I think Russell Wilson does mask those holes. I'm okay with that. That's why you spend $30 million plus on a quarterback, to mask some of those holes. I think what you need is some guys on defense stepping up and making plays. I want Ziggy Ansah not to be quadruple teamed every time he rushes the passer, because he's looking at Rasheem Green, Brandon Jackson, and Ziggy Ansah on the other side. Like, he needs help. I need Bobby Wagner to be able to run free and make plays, and he wasn't able to do that this year. I need a cornerback who can take the ball away. What do they have, two picks from a corner all year long? Like, you can't function as a big time defense without guys at all three levels making plays, and they did not have that this year, really, at any of those levels.
We're going to be taking your calls at 1 o'clock, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. What are those pieces? What are those superstar pieces that Russell is referring to? What do you think he's talking about? What pieces would you like to have? Coming up next, though, by the way, thank you, Mike.
I'd like a guru quarterback. Like, do you guys know any guru superstars?
Yeah, I know one.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what he means.
But all he can do is play quarterback. We don't need one.
That's true. Maybe that's what Russell wants. It's a little more competition at the quarterback position.
For himself?
He wants him to bring in Aaron Rodgers to compete.
Can you
with him
imagine
every day.
Him doing the interview and saying, we need Jake Heaps?
All right, coming up next, we have some good response to this, plus a very, very good idea for Kobe Bryant. We'll talk about it next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
We're going to be taking your calls at the top of the hour. What pieces do you think the Seahawks need to get, either in free agency, the draft, etc.? What pieces do you think Russell Wilson is referring to? 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. We'll get back to that in just a second here. I saw an idea yesterday on Twitter. I just want to know quickly what you guys think of it. How about altering the NBA logo from Jerry West to Kobe Bryant?
I would be totally for that. Look, I am a purist in most sports, and so changing something like that from Jerry West, you know, just the NBA logo, it's iconic. It is what it's been for a long, long time.
Yeah, about 50 years.
The generic, and usually there's no reason to change it. But I think what Kobe meant to the NBA and the impact that he had superseded what anything Jerry West did, honestly. So I would be for that. And it's not just a byproduct of the moment, but I think it would be a great tribute and also a signifier of what Kobe did for this league. I mean, he did a lot for the league, and I would be in full support of it.
I'd be fine with it. I do think there would be a population of fans who would question why maybe someone like Michael Jordan hadn't had an honor like that, because I think that there will always be people that disagree and think it should be someone else, and you've kind of got that trio, right, of Kobe, LeBron, and MJ.
I actually dealt with that very question last night, Stacey, on Twitter. Their argument for Jordan, which is a good one, is that he's the all-time best player. My counter-argument was, well, Jerry West is the NBA logo, and I don't think he was ever regarded as the best player in the league.
No, he wasn't.
Will Chamberlain was a contemporary of Jerry West. You could have very easily made the case that, why Jerry West? Why not Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell? Or
correct.
Somebody like that. So, look, it's been used since 1971. That's almost 50 years. I'm not saying it has to change or it would be offensive if it did. But I'm just going gut feeling here, my emotion. It feels kind of like the right thing to do, or a right thing to do.
Right. And I think that that's where I agree with you. If they did it, yeah. I wouldn't bat an eye at it. I would applaud it.
If they don't, fine.
Yeah. If they don't, I definitely understand. It's been the signal of the NFL for a long time.
NBA.
You know, the NBA. But but ultimately, if they did change it, I think it would be a very, very nice gesture that should be well received.
If they changed the NFL logo to one of Kobe Bryant, I would object to that.
I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, it would be a little different.
It'd be a bit much, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it probably would.
All right. Couple of takes here on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks and the pieces they need and what they should be doing here in the draft. First, one take from Jim Moore.
Honestly, I'm just kind of tired of the Seahawks just going for depth guys, you know, guys that you go, yeah, he's a really good special teamer and he's a good backup linebacker and he's really a solid citizen on the team, you know, those types of players, and right. You like having them. And I think you've built up enough of that with guys, you've built up enough depth that I think now it's kind of time to just have a wild hair and go for it and say, okay, we're going to trade the 27th overall and we're also going to give you a second rounder and a fourth rounder. But I would think that if you're giving up your 27th overall with a second rounder and a fourth rounder, that you could move up in the teens, let's say. My grand finale here is, don't you think that if you're picking at 13 or 14 or 15, you have a better chance of hitting a potential superstar than if you're drafting at 27?
I like Jim announcing that that's his grand finale.
The grand finale. Here it comes.
And here comes,
and
the,
here comes the big point.
Look, haven't they always drafted players according to unique set of skills and they identify that guy? Okay, we look at this guy and we can use him this way as opposed to how everybody else looks at him. I mean, that's kind of what their draft philosophy is. They don't look at it the same way Mel Kiper or Todd McShay looks at it. Oh, this is an impact player, therefore I've got him in my top 15. That's just not how they do it. We can wish for that all we want. I just don't really see it happening.
Them trading up high into the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see them making a trade up, which they've done before, but not...
I mean, they did it with Metcalf in the second round.
Yeah, yeah. They've done, I feel like, a version of it. They did it for Michael Dixon. Like, in later rounds, they've traded up. But
going into the first, you're going to have to give up a lot of capital. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is those... The value for high to mid-round first-rounders, the value is extremely
on
high.
Howdy's got the draft chart pulled up here. For the Seahawks, first, second, and fourth, they could get up into the teens.
Right.
Jim's gut feeling was actually spot on.
You have to think it's someone that could change your organization.
It's true, but at that point, you should be able to look at it and say, okay, with the 27th pick, with two second-round picks, you should be able, with those three guys alone, find really good impact players. Unless there's some guy that you are just saying, this dude is going to change the game for us. We're going to sign Clowney, and we are going to get this edge rusher next to him, and we are going to have one of the best tandems in the league. I don't want them to make that kind of effort or push. I would rather have them, you know, trade in the second, third round to go and get, you know, DK Metcalf, you know, for example. I'm okay with those types of moves. But to give up first, second, and fourth when they already don't have a ton of... You know, they have good draft stock, but they don't have 11 picks right now. They've only got six in my mind, so to my count. And maybe they get seven with a compensatory pick. So they don't have a lot of wiggle room there. So
which player are we talking about, by the way? If you want to get in the top 15, which player are we talking about?
That's the thing, is we haven't yet identified that guy, and I think we'll get into that as, like, maybe who are the types of guys that you would trade up for. There isn't one that comes to my mind right off the top of my head like there would be for
a top two, a
Nick Bosa or a Brian Burns of last year. So we can get into those conversations, but overall they have to hit with what they've got in the draft, and I think they have to be very aggressive in free agency and very smart with the draft.
Dave Wyman piling on.
Maybe that's what they do, Jim. I mean, they may feel that way, but I was just looking at Unique Ngakoue. But let's say you do what you're talking about and you get a top-rated defensive end in the draft, or you go and get a guy like that and then put Clowney on the other side of him. He's got 37.5 sacks, and Ngakoue does.
How old did you say he was again?
He's 24 years old.
24.
That's okay. All he is?
Yeah.
So that right there, Ngakoue is a free agent. He's a guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that, to me, as Dave's suggesting, you get aggressive in free agency. And I think that there are some other interesting ways that you can go. You could get Clowney, and you can get a couple, you could get one or two guys that are productive defensive ends that are traditionally 5-6 sack guys. They generate those types of numbers every single year, and you put those guys in a rotation. Now you've got some depth on the edge that can go after and get the passer. To me, there's a couple different areas, but you have to go and get proven talent that can get after the passer, that can generate those sack numbers and those pressure numbers on a consistent basis, rather than going after a project guy and going after value like we talked with Salk, you know, in the second, third wave of free agency. We need first wave caliber type of superstars here on this roster.
866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Which pieces do you think the Seahawks need? We'll take your calls next, 710 ESPN Seattle.